वृंदावन की जाय, वृंदावन की जाय, मथुराम की जाय, नवदीप्ताम की जाय, जगदस्वामी की जाय, युवनमाय की जाय, श्रीमती लक्ष्मी देवी की जाय, समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 7th Chapter, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmad bhavadbhihi kartavyam karmanam tri gunatmanam bija nirharanam yogah pravaho paramo Diyaha Tosmad Bhavadvi Kartavyam Karmanam Trigunatmanam Vijanirharanam Yoga Pravaho Paramo Diyaha Tasmat bhavad be kartavyam karmanam trigunatmanam bija nirharanam yoga pravaho paramodhyaha Tasmat bhavad be kartavyam karmanam trigunatmanam bija nirharanam yoga pravaho paramo niyaha.
Do I have what? How do the lights get on? I didn't turn them on. Okay.
Tasmad bhavad bhi kartavyam.
right. Tazmat. Therefore. Bavad vihi.
By your good selves.
Kartavyam. To be done. Karmanam. Of all material activities. Triguna Atmanam, conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Abhija Nirharanam, burning of the seed. Yogaha,
the process by which one can be linked with the Supreme.
Pravaha,
of the continuous current
in the form of wakefulness, dreaming,
and deep sleep.
Uparama,
the cessation.
Dhyaha,
of the intelligence.
So, translation. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. So you can repeat. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness,
which can burn the seed of fruitive activities,
artificially created by the modes of material nature,
and stop the flow of the intelligence
in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep.
In other words,
when one takes to Krishna consciousness,
his ignorance is immediately dissipated.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, text 26.
Mam jiyo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati choitan ramabhuyaya kalpate.
One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. By the practice of bhakti yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word Bija Niharanam refers to burning the root cause of material life to ashes. In the Medini dictionary, yoga is explained by its result. Yoge pur avarta sampratao sangita jnana yuktishu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is above karma, jnana, and sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi, tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service.
Yoginam api sarvesham madgatein nantaratmana sadavan bhajate yovam Same Yuktatamo Mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, one is liberated from material condition. From the material condition. So, tasmat bhavadvi kartavyam karmanam trigunatmanam vijanirharanam yoga prabaho paramohu diyaha. So, omagana timranda shah gananjana shalakaya chakshur of meditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So, I'm going to comment on this bija niharanam. Actually, the third line here, bija niharanam yoga. So let's talk about bija first. Bija basically means a seed. And as we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the living entity is wandering within this material world. Ramana Brahmate Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Vai Bhakti Lata Bija. That the living entity is wandering throughout this material world, and by the mercy of Krishna, he gets the mercy of the Guru, and the Guru gives him what's called the Bhakti Lata Bija. That means the seed of the creeper of devotion. You got creeper there, Lata. Just like we have our Madhavi Lata here. So the Bhakti Lata is the Bhakti Lata Bija means the seed of the creeper of devotion. So that comes about through association. Just like we hear many times how important good association is. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvasashrakoi, lavamatra sadhusanga, sarvasiddhihoi. Just by a little bit of association, one gets all good association, of course. One gets all perfection, sarvasiddhihoi. And even in the Bhagavatam, it says, Swardunya Yupo Nushevaya, that a moment's association with a great personality is more valuable than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So people go to all the holy places. I was listening last night to one of Prabhupada's discussions, and they were talking about a particular devotee who had, against Prabhupada's instructions, had gone all over India to visit all the holy places to get purified. And the devotees asked, you know, what about him? And then Prabhupada said, you know, what can we do? You know, everybody has their independence. In other words, Prabhupada didn't specifically criticize this devotee, but he was indicating that it would have been much more purifying to follow his instructions than to visit all the holy places. And of course, another time in Prabhupada's pastimes, we find the devotee is going around Vrindavan along with Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada was there. And then they made it, this is a famous story, of course, they made an announcement that there's this temple, Shirodakshai Vishnu, which I've been to, actually. It's a very beautiful temple. It has a deity of Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma. You've seen the temple? Very nice. Lord Brahma coming out of the navel stem of Lord Vishnu and all the demigods surrounding. It's a quite a complex deity. So they announced that tonight they're going to go see the deity. And if anyone wants to go, they can go. But if anyone wants to stay back, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur will be here giving darshan. So just about everybody headed for the, I don't want to say hills, but they headed for the temple. They headed, you know. And Prabhupada would often say, you know, what could you see with these eyes? And actually we see through sound vibration. Shushushro shradalana shivasadeva katha ruchi. And so that's actually service. So therefore, Prabhupada remained. I mean, I guess there's one or two other sannyasis who remained. And then Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, is Prabhupada's spiritual master, commented upon that occasion, he likes to hear. You know, in other words, he was very pleased. So And of course, we also have this verse in the Guru Vashtak every morning, Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasha Prasada Nagati Katopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. Of course, unfortunately, we're overly intelligent. We have other methods of getting the mercy of Krishna. And anyway, so that's the best method. Of course, the best method, you hear. And it's mentioned by Lord Kapiladev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mama virya sambhado bhavanti vritkarna rasayana kata ta joshanadashu apavarga vartmani shudavratira vakti anukramishati. That our method of becoming Krishna conscious is to associate with the devotees, satam prasangam, just like we have sangha, and prasangam, that's emphasizing it further. Satam, or sat, means the devotees, those who are established, like sadhu, sat, those who are established in eternality, which is Krishna consciousness. Satam prasangam, mama viri sampada, and they hear about Krishna. Just like every day I'm listening to Prabhupada's conversations, lectures like that, and I'm hearing about Krishna from Prabhupada. So that's satam prasangam. Mama virya samvada. That means talks about Krishna's heroic activities. Krishna's the greatest hero. It means Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's instructions, everything like that. Mama virya samvada. Bhavanti vritkarna. And then the channel between the ear and the heart becomes opened up. There's actually a channel. It's a spiritual channel. I'm not saying that if you dissect someone's body, you're going to find some channel between the ear and the heart. You'll find a channel between the ear and the nose, which sometimes gets stuffed up when you have a cold and you're in an airplane and causes trouble. But there's actually a spiritual channel between the ear and the heart. And Bhavanti Rit Karna, Rit is heart, Karna, of course, is ear. Rasayana Kata, that is like very medicinal. Rasayana Kata, Jajoshana Dashu, Apavarga Vartmani. So in this way, one proceeds on this path that's mentioned here is Apavarga. Apavarga is the negation of the word Pavarga. Pavarga means what's happening to us in this world by our attachments. It can be analyzed in various ways. The acharyas have done this. That means hard work, and even, they say, foaming at the mouth. It's like if you've ever seen like a animal who is pulling things, like in India especially, you see this, they work very hard, they're pulling something, the animal just foams at the mouth. I'm sure any of you have been to India have seen that with the bullocks like that. Hard work, foaming at the mouth, fainting, and eventually mrityu or death. So this is pavarga, but we want to go on the path of upavarga. Upavarga vartmani. Vartmani means path. So Apavarga Vartmani, so one proceeds on the path of Apavarga, becoming free from the miseries, Apavarga Vartmani, Shada Ratira Bhakti Anukramishati, and there's steps in this path. And the steps are faith, one gets faith, one gets a taste, and Rati, and then ultimately Bhakti, one gets love. And that's really what saves one from the material world. So this is really what we're interested in. So all that occurs from satam prasangam, mama virya samvada, but from hearing from the right personality about Krishna. Now, that eliminates, or that dissolves something else, which is interesting. And not only does it establish the bhakti lata bish, just like my own life, let me give a little history that I've talked about before. The first time I heard Prabhupada chanting, it was on a radio, it was like 1968 or something like that. I always tell that story. And it was the Happening album or something like that. And my life changed just from hearing Prabhupada chanting on the radio. So just that sound vibration establishes the bhakti latvi as the seed of the creeper devotion. And it does other things too. It dissolves other things For example, the material subtle body becomes dissolved. But that doesn't mean, as we mentioned the other day, that subtle body is the mind, intelligence, false ego. That means you have no mind anymore, and you have no intelligence anymore, and you have no ego anymore. Then we become zombies, or like the clone army in the Star Wars series. You know, but that's not really the point. You get your real mind, your real intelligence, and your real ego. You know, impersonalists think you got to get rid of the ego completely. But it doesn't work like that, because the ego is always there. So you uncover, like we have this verse in the Shikshastika, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. You cleanse, so you can actually see what a person is like. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's actually funny. Recently there was a proposal to put a picture of a bearded person on ISKCON's 50th magazine. So, and the whole, someone proposed it and they put the proposed cover, and we all objected, the GBC objected. So what they did is they photoshopped the beard off. Which is completely dishonest when you're presenting a spiritual movement to Photoshop something to that extent. And I pointed that out. But then we could see the real person. The point I'm making is you could see the real person underneath the beard. Or actually, even when I joined the movement, I had a big beard. And Frida Nandamaraj said to me, you know, after I shaved it off, oh, I can finally see you. So that's what you look like. You know, you're a young man. You know, I look like an old man. You know, it's such a Sai Baba with a beard on. So that's the point. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. You cleanse the soul. It's a bath for the soul. Arpanam. You know, it's a bath for the soul. And then you actually see the real self, the real mind, the real intelligence, the real nature, etc. like that. And that's the process of Krishna consciousness. So that's also from transcendental sound vibration that occurs. But it's gradual. Also this word, nirharanam, means like a fog. It's translated nirharanam, or nirharanam means burning or getting rid of the fog. Actually getting rid of the fog. It's not translated like that in the word by word, don't worry. That's elsewhere. In the Bhagavatam. Nirharana means to get rid of the fog or the mist. So it's the same thing as Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, just cleansing the heart and seeing really what's underneath. So the chanting and the association with devotees and the hearing from great devotees cleanses the heart, gets rid of the fog, establishes the bija, dissolves the material subtle body. I mean, it really... It's an all cure-all. You know, it's a panacea. And actually, that's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It's a panacea for all the material miseries. So, the opposite of that, let's talk about the opposite of that. If you hear mundane things, it actually implants the karma bija or the jnana bija in your heart. We're talking about seeds again. The seed of wanting something in this world. Like if you hear about some mundane thing that may be attractive to you, you become attracted to it. And if you hear about, you know, just some speculation, that also is attractive to people who have some brains. And so, and then you become deviated from Krishna consciousness. That's mentioned also in the Bhagavad Gita as the cause of these other seeds becoming implanted in your heart, and also it's mentioned here, the modes of nature. Karnam guna sangasya sadasad janma jalanishu, that the cause of our entanglement or having these other seeds, the karma bij, which means the seed of the desire for gross enjoyment, or jnana bij, you know, subtle enjoyment, becomes implanted by association, by the wrong association, or it depends on your perspective. It may be the right association from your perspective. You know, you want to be in Maya. I mean, I had a practical experience of that last night. Last night, just before I took rest, which is not a good idea, I decided to see what was happening with this debate, with the Republican Party. And, just 5 minutes. I thought, it's not going to harm me. It's interesting to see Sir Donald Trump on TV. So I turned it on. I don't have a TV, but on the computer, the internet. And, they were getting into this whole mood of, I got to kill all those demons, demons to them meant anyone who's not an American, basically. So, not quite, but it was, anyone who's not of the same race, you leave European or American or Australian or New Zealand, in the Middle East, enemies, friends and enemies. The whole point is friends and enemies consciousness. And, just by hearing it, you get into it. You say, yeah, maybe we should elect Donald Trump. No, I never thought that. For president. but there's a mood there. You have to really be cautious about not getting, when you hear, isn't it, from these politicians, it's just like, yeah, we got to defend. There's another, and you put fear in your heart. I guarantee you there's another 9/11 coming right now. And it's all due to the this past Secretary of State. And I said, wow. And so, wow. I had to pull myself back. Of course, had a number of bad dreams due to that. But had to pull myself back from that and say, wow, that's not going to solve the problem even materially. These people are in the mode of ignorance. I'm not saying that Democrats are in a lesser mode, but anyway, or in a higher mode. But it was just like, huh? So I actually experienced how this association really affects the consciousness. It's really, it really does. And you got to be really alert about these things. So I'm not going to do that again before I take rest at night. So, that means that we have to be real careful, not only what we hear. I mean, hearing is not the only way you associate, although it's the most important, potent way of association, but also what you eat, what you see, all these things we have. If we're interested in advancing, if you're not interested in advancing, sure, you can cultivate the karma bees, jnana bees, whatever bees you like, but I'm interested in the bhakti lata bees. So that means, we eat food cooked by people who are Krishna conscious, offered to Krishna, and then it becomes purifying and it helps with the bhakti lata bija. And of course, we have that example of the great personalities who took the wrong type of food and their consciousness became contaminated, like Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, Kripacharya. I mean, they were eating food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. I don't think Duryodhana was the cook. There's no mention of him going into the kitchen and cooking a sabji. But, obviously he didn't hire the right people. He didn't offer to Krishna. I'm sure his whole entourage was completely devoid of good qualities. He was financing it. So many things. So, therefore, Grandfather Bhishma became basically possessed. And even though he's a Mahajan, great personality, his consciousness became affected by that. So this is a science of consciousness that we're presenting. It's not, like Prabhupada said, it's not religion in the same way that people think of religion normally. The sectarian religion, I am Muslim, I'm Jewish, I'm Hindu, I am Buddhist, I am whatever I am. But it's a science, it's Dharma, it's eternal principles. And so dealing with consciousness, which is who we are conscious entities, then we have to be extremely careful. Like if you're dealing with something or someone who's very impressionable, you have to be very, very careful. Like with a child, for example. I mean, sometimes in raising children, they say, some people say that you should expose them to everything. So they get immunity. It's like that whole philosophy of giving everybody a vaccination against every possible thing. You know, my mother just got a vaccination, and it caused her a heart arrhythmia, and then the doctors put in this device, you know, pacemaker in her heart, just because she got a vaccination. You know, the next day she collapsed, and then she found out that that's a common result of these some of the vaccinations. You know, somehow it says she's walking around with this electronic device. You know, there's like half person, half machine. Not quite that bad, but so yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about vaccinations in class, but it's like that. You know, you think you expose people to something, they're going to become immune to it. Well, it's not necessarily true like that. Sometimes you expose people, they become attracted to it, they become contaminated by it, and the immunity doesn't come. Mm-hmm. So, but why do we talk about so much about, you know, this negative thing, avoiding this, avoiding this, avoiding that, avoiding that? You know, it seems so negative. Because those things are the cause of misery in this world. Now, according to the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami analyzes this. When he talks about how Krishna consciousness gives immediate relief from all distress. I mean, that's the first quality, immediately relief from all distress. And then he analyzes where distress comes from. First of all, the first step in distress comes from ignorance, which we talked about yesterday. And then, after ignorance, you get this thing called a kuta. Kuta. That's interesting. So kuta is an inclination towards something that's doing something that's ignorant, or consciousness that's ignorant. And then after the kuta, you get this bee, the same word that's mentioned here in the purport, the bee, you get the seed of desire. And then after the seed of desire, you get the action, the karma. Not karma in terms of reaction, but you get the karma. And then after the karma, everyone try to follow me. After the karma, you get a reaction. And that's parabdha or aparabdha reactions. Parabdha means right now, what you're dealing with. Like, for example, if you look at your face, that's your parabdha reaction. That's true. Unless you happen to be a pure devotee. But look, you know, just like, sometimes I look at my face and the nose is too big. That's parabdha reaction. You know, from karma in the past. And then there's aparabdha, which means it's not yet there. It's coming. It's just now coming, as they say in India. And that aparabdha also manifests more kuta and more bija. In other words, more inclinations to do the karma thing again. We want to get free from karma. And all this is the cycle that, it's a vicious cycle, of course. A vicious cycle means it keeps repeating and it doesn't have a good result. That causes us to be miserable. You know, so now we're talking about the bijas in the material world, the seeds in the material world. Those are the things that cause misery. And everyone wants to be happy. I mean, who wants to be miserable? I mean, I'm not a masochist. Or a sadist. You know, nobody wants to be miserable. We always want to be happy. So you eliminate the sources of misery, which is described, you know, the senses of enjoyment like in this material world. And you eliminate that by eliminating the karma bij and the jnana bij, which comes from the ultimately ignorance, but also from the aparabdha, unmanifest karmic reaction. Does everyone understand that? So we're just trying to keep it simple. So you eliminate that, and as described here, you eliminate it by frying the seed. Because a seed does not get eliminated by just drying it or not paying attention to it. I mean, it appears like it's not there. Just like we talk about how one can get rid of, or apparently get rid of, material desires by engaging in physical austerities. I mean, for example, if you don't eat for a week, you're not going to feel very lusty. I mean, hopefully. You're going to be peaceful. You know, of course, you won't have much energy. But And then as soon as you pop some food in your mouth again, you know, out it comes. So simply by material adjustments, you're not going to overcome the inclination to perform activities that run counterproductive to your happiness. Just like a seed can be kept without sprouting for thousands of years, like they did in the Egyptian pyramids. They pulled the chickpeas, the garbanzo beans out of the Egyptian pyramids, put them in water, and they sprouted again. So you can apparently be like peaceful, free, mode of goodness. You know, everything is wonderful in its own way underneath the sunshine in the merry, merry month of May. But when the right situation arises, it pops out again. You know, the seed sprouts. So the way to fry the seed, because when you fry a seed, it no longer has life. You know, it can't. That's why we should generally, when we're eating, be eating live food. There's an advertisement. That's like when I eat raw nuts instead of fried nuts, because and sometimes it's a good idea to sprout them, isn't it? There's our sprout lady there. So it's a good idea to sprout them because they're live. And then as soon as you cook it, you know, a nut, then it becomes dead. So it's better to eat live food instead of dead food. So in the same way, when you fry the desire seed by Krishna consciousness, the material desires, the desires that are interfering with your happiness, they can no longer sprout. And at the same time, you get this bhakti lata bij, which pierces through, we only have about 1 minute, half a minute left, which pierces through the seed of devotion, the creeper of devotion, pierces through the coverings of the material universe and ends up offering flowers at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So which is better? And it all based, just to sum up, it's all based on association. Good association, you get bhakti lata bij, you fry the karma bij, the jnana bij. Bad association, it's exactly the opposite. So therefore, association is most important. That's the conclusion. Okay, all glorious to his vine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.